I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
They think they got the answers. I change the questions.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Crimson Canvas Podcast. Evan Showman here with my man Dan Rose, my boy Deion Harrison. Later on, we will have Mr. Bruce Buffer on, the voice of the Octagon. But for now, you get to deal with us talking some wrestling, talking some MMA, talking some television, even though Dan Rose here doesn't like sci-fi and makes things very difficult for Deion and I.
It's true. I am a non-sci-fi guy, but I will let you guys talk all the sci-fi you want. I will just peruse the internet for other stuff while you're doing so.
When you say cruise the internet, you're talking about looking at porn, aren't you?
Well, I said peruse, not cruise, but yes, mostly porn.
Now, let me ask you a question, Dan.
Okay.
Do you still go with the porn from, you know, like today porn or like old porn? Because I go with old porn.
I go with the old porn, too. I'm a big fan of the full muff, if you will.
Yeah, I like the bush. I like the real boobies.
Same here. I like the squishy boobies and the giant bush.
I don't really.
I'm a child of the 70s. What can I tell you?
I'm not that into the, like, bush, per se, but I'm like, when a chick is bent over backwards and then and you see those, like, pressure lines from her fake boobs.
Yeah, that's kind of gross.
No, I'm not a fan, so I'm all about old school.
Yeah, you give me Nina Hartley back in the day, and I'm good to go.
Yeah. She's still going hard.
She is.
Yeah, that I'm not so good about, but back in the day, like, I'll take Nina Hartley in her prime over fucking Mary Carey and those guys.
I don't know about these new chicks, you know. I'm cool with, like, Celeste and Chasey Lane, Jill Kelly.
Chasey Lane, yeah, you can't go wrong there.
Well, back in the day, you couldn't go wrong.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Everything I say is back in the day, because like now on Showtime sometimes, they have that AVN award show, and I literally don't know anyone on that show, and it's literally, it seems to me like just a bunch of fucking dumb girls.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they had class, Evan.
They had class.
Well, They didn't, but it's all right. You know, like, no big deal. But they made good, decent adult films back then.
They made a fine fuck picture.
have you seen that Sunny thing yet?
Dude, I sent you a picture from the fucking still frame of it.
So you watched it, the whole thing?
I watched like 8 minutes of it, and it broke my heart. And that was it for me, for Sunny's adult film industry. It's just not what it was.
Was it? What is she just? I know she's kind of. She's a monster, right?
Oh,
she's not good. She wears like a halter top deal all through the whole thing, so it like pads down her stomach, and she never takes it off.
Oh boy!
She just like slips it down below her boobs, and her boobs aren't like circa classic Sunny boobs.
Well, that's it, huh? It was a slippery slope, and she lost it completely.
Yeah, I guess she's been in the hospital lately with pancreatitis from too much booze.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah, a good segue there, Deion, talking about Sonny, and then I blame you. Those poor people going like, I want to listen to hear what Bruce Buffer, the classiest guy in MMA, has to say. But first...
That's true.
But first, let me listen to these three morons talk about this.
Well now I kind of regret even talking about it. Thanks a lot, Evan.
I would if I was you. You ruined it, Dan.
I did. I totally ruined it.
You ruined the show. You ruined it. So what'd you guys, speaking of Vince McMahon and ruining it, what'd you think of Raw this past week? I thought it started off strong and then just, got its wing shot off and fell into a fiery cesspool.
I agree with that sentiment pretty much. I like the fatal five-way to start the event, and after that there was only a couple segments or situations that I held my interest and I thought were enjoyable. The rest of it was just fast-forward.
Thank God for that fast-forward button.
You know, Dan's a big old friggin' mark for the Wyatt brothers, and he fast-forwarded through that match, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I'm a huge mark for the Wyatts, but the WWE is forcing me to lose my love for the Wyatt family.
What do you think? Why are you losing it?
Because they continue to book them in the same exact situations with the same exact hacky wrestlers. It's like, who fucking wants to see the Wyatts tangle with the Big Show, Ryback, and Kane for the 35th time? And the best of the group, Bray, is not even on the fucking card. He's not even in the match.
You know why?
I don't know why.
He's going to cost Brock Lesnar that triple threat match so they can set up Brock versus Bray.
Well, that would be cool. I would like that. But I'm not holding my breath that they have some great vision that they're going to spring on us that's going to make it all right.
What's crazy that you say that is because you know they're fucking dumb with their booking. Like, we've come up with way better ideas that will interest us than they ever do.
I thought that Evan came up with the best idea ever when he suggested that you take 1 hour of Raw every week and make it NXT.
I don't think that was my idea.
Oh, was it?
No, that was like a really good idea.
Maybe that was my idea.
You take full credit
I'll
of that.
I'll take credit for it. I think it's a good one.
I mean, I'd love to take credit for that, but I'm listening to you like, where the fuck is he going with this?
No, I thought that was you that came up with that. Was it you, Dion?
Does it sound like an idea that Dion Harrison would come up with?
No, not really.
And
I don't know.
It wasn't Dion.
It was me, I guess. I don't remember. I just think it would be cool, but, I mean, there's so many things that they could do that they don't do, and now as a, you know, now as a side result of that, we have, like, Barrett saying that he's not coming back when his contract's up in June.
I'm afraid he had some bad news. I'm not coming back, bitches.
Yeah, it's like, Jesus, that guy could have been a monster. They could have really used him well, but instead they're just like, fuck him.
Well, we're going to push Dean Ambrose and not force him to get a haircut.
Yeah, his hair is getting worse and worse.
Oh, and he almost turned heel. That was dumb.
He did. That was exciting for a second.
That was dumb. Stop it. It wasn't even exciting. It was just dumb. Everything they're doing right now is dumb. Dumb decisions.
If your buddy tried to do his finisher to you, wouldn't you try to spear him or something back?
Yeah. That's what I was waiting
for. Yeah, he was like, oh, get on you, buddy. You almost got me.
Like, really? Come on, guys. They should have had a fight to end Raw with them two going at it. Because they're not friends right now, because they're fighting for the chance to main event WrestleMania. And all that friendship shit gets thrown out of the window.
And it would have been a good way to, like, prime the pump for fucking Fastlane.
So last year, going in the Fastlane, it was Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns for the chance to fight Brock at WrestleMania. And the go-home show to Fastlane, they ended it with a brawl between them two, between Bryan and Roman Reigns. And that shit got me amped for Fastlane.
Jeez. Nothing gets you amped for Fastlane. Stop.
Well, Daniel Bryan in the main event.
Yeah, well, now he's gone. So, Cena's gone. Barrett's leaving.
Seth Rollins
Orton's
on the
gone.
Show.
Rollins is hurt. They keep calling for Sasha Banks, and they don't bring her out like half the time.
And now they have her in a tag match again at Fastlane.
A tag match with Becky Lynch, like...
Yeah.
Who comes up with this shit? Like,
and then meanwhile, Charlotte and Brie Bella are wrestling the two worst actresses in the WWE.
Charlotte sucks.
Dude, Charlotte and Ric Flair both suck.
Duh.
I feel so bad for prehistoric Ric Flair getting fucking marched out to the ring all fucking drunk and tanked up every week to do his little 5 minutes of stupidity and then get help to the back.
Yeah, it sucks. It's just everything sucks right now. The Goldust and R-Truth, that was decent, and it was funny, but who cares? It made no sense.
It was so random.
Continue to, like, what did it push forward, or what momentum did it help carry? Nothing.
Goldust is trying really hard to make R-Truth become his tag team partner, but he's
failing.
But
how's that?
It's entertaining.
I don't know, man. I just think that it was, I don't know.
It was pointless. It was pointless.
Yeah.
Listen, WWE, listen to the Crimson Canvas podcast. You guys will learn something.
Please do, guys.
Surprises. Surprises. That's all what it's about. It's about surprises. There's so many ways that they could do things just awesome, and they just don't, you know?
Every week it's like, okay, how can we get Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose in a match? How can we get Ziggler and
Owens
in a match? How can we get, you know, Styles and Jericho in a match? And what can we do to fuck up the Divas even more?
Right.
What recycled garbage can we put the Wyatts in? And it's just, it makes me so pissed.
They're just so inconsistent with their shows. Like, one week, we're like, oh, it's pretty decent. But most of the time, it's just been booty.
And I heard Daniel Bryan turned down a role at WrestleMania.
Oh, what role was that?
They never made it public. Vince McMahon called him into his office and everything. And this was before the retirement on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And ran, like, three different things by him that he'd like him to do to keep him associated in the WWE and on camera and everything. And Daniel Bryan said, no thanks, and we're not even in the same ballpark on the kind of stuff I'd do. And at that point, they made the decision to have him do the retirement announcement.
He could have been, like, a special guest referee or something.
He just doesn't want to. I don't blame him. It's like, if you can't wrestle, then fuck it.
Yeah, that's not what I'm here for. That's not what I do.
Yeah, like, he even said, like, if you watch, like, Total Divas, which I know you guys don't, but even his stint as a judge on Tough Enough, he fucking didn't like it. He, like, flat out told Breeze, like, yeah, I don't like doing that. That's not my thing. That's not my style.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable in that role. It's like, he just wants to wrestle, and that's that. And if he can't wrestle, then he doesn't want to be involved.
What a selfish little man. No, I'm just kidding.
Like I said, Dion, you can still get your Daniel Bryan fix on Total Divas every week.
I guess. Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's not good. Don't get me wrong. It's not good. And Amanda's on it now.
Who?
At least she's hot.
The chick that was the runner-up on Tough Enough.
Which one was that?
The hot blonde one.
Yeah. How's it going? Yeah, she's a... She was her and I like the other one too. The two last chicks I liked.
She hasn't been seen yet. The one who actually won the show. But yeah, Mandy's on or Amanda, whatever they. I don't know what the fuck they call her. But she's on Total Divas now as a main character.
Well, okay.
They're talking about her and Eva Marie doing a red and gold.
Jeez.
Tag team reenactment.
Because people want to see Eva Marie.
Yeah.
Bye. And I like how it even worked her into the fast lane opening.
Yeah. I know. It's ridiculous.
God, I hate her so much. Like, this when somebody brings their name up, I'm like, God, she is the worst of the worst.
Her and Cameron are pretty close.
I know. Cameron is so bad. How is she even still wrestling?
She got demoted. But she's... She's not very nice. She's not good. And the fans, you can't fool the fans.
You can't.
You know, you can't fool these guys. They fool the fans, and they keep trying to fool the fans by putting people in NXT. It's like taking a turd, shining it up, and being like, here's a Snickers bar. You take a whiff of it, and you're like, nope.
That's Cameron.
Cameron is that. She's like this stinky little nugget that doesn't flush.
Wow.
Owen Hart status.
Thank you very much, Dion, for catching the reference. Dan,
enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
Enough is enough. Yeah, that's funny you say that. You actually do sound a little like Owen, except for the Canadian accent.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yep. So, good for you, Dan. Good on you.
Good for me.
And then the, what's it called? On NXT, Carmella and Bayley fought, or went at it, and then they got interrupted by Nia Jax and Eva Marie.
Dude, she got booed so bad.
You know why? Because yeah. You can't fool the fans.
She might be the most hated heel on the entire roster.
It's funny, too, because they don't, like, hate her character. They fucking hate her.
Yeah.
That's what's sad, is they don't hate the fact that an angle or a role she's playing. They just fucking don't like her as a human being.
Yep. And it's the same thing as, I don't think people don't dislike Alberto Del Rio's character. I think they just don't care about him.
About Alberto Del Rio?
Him and Rusev and all those schmuck balls. What are they even for?
Yep, it's true.
Because there are guys that are heel that people dig, like Seth Rollins.
Kevin Owens. Yeah.
Kevin Owens, exactly.
Good old Kevin
Owens. I am so glad they put the IC title back on him. It belongs on his waist, or his shoulder.
On Raw, too.
Yes.
Yeah. I like Kevin Owens a lot.
Yeah, he's dope. He's
Do you follow him on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, dude, he's hilarious.
He's killed everybody.
I saw a thing where some kid brought a sign to Raw that said,
yes,
Kevin Owens is fat, and the kid was, like, super fat wearing a Star Wars shirt. And the Raw guys took the sign away from him, and someone said something, and he was like, I'm glad they took that sign away. That wasn't cool, Kevin. And Kevin's like, well, considering the source and the fact that he was out of breath from making the sign, I wasn't that offended.
So bad.
It's just pretty funny to me.
Oh, God. That's good stuff, though.
Yeah, Kevin Owens, man, he's pretty quick-witted.
Yeah, he is.
You have to be a pro wrestler.
I would like to see more of that from him on actual Raw. Let him turn his personality loose a little bit more.
Well, they don't give him the microphone that much. They give Roman Reigns the microphone too much. Like, how do you not... These are very simple, small things. How do you not, like, go, hey, here's what we should do? How does no one see that except for Crimson Canvas Radio? Answer me that.
I think the fans see it. Nobody gives a shit. The WWE creative lives in this little bubble.
I think
where it's like the same group of guys. Go ahead, Dion.
Oh, I agree with you, but I think Triple H knows.
Do you think this is a Vince issue?
Yeah,
I think that,
of course.
Yeah, I think that the majority of the shit that we complain about on Raw is Vince related. I think that. Because look how much cooler NXT is than Raw.
That is true.
And that's Triple H's baby. And then you look at Raw, where Vince still keeps his ice-cold, decrepit hands in the work. So much of it is his.
Talking about him like he's Walt Disney's head.
Yeah, I was thinking more like Mr. Burns on Seinfeld.
Oh,
Mr. Burns on Seinfeld or
Simpsons?
I mean, on The Simpsons, not Seinfeld. Mr. Burns on The Simpsons. I just kind of picture Vince McMahon like that.
Yeah.
Pat Patterson Smithers. Yeah.
You know what I crack up about? Like,
I'm glad you like that, Dion.
When they're talking about the Edge and they're showing the Edge and Christian show, you know, I'm very vocal about Vince and what the stuff he does. How you doing, pal? Like, his whole thing is just really dumb. But his stuff, when he's disgusted, is so awesome. And he needs to do that more often. Like when they were in his office and he's like, what are you doing in my office? And he's got that look like he stepped in something.
Yeah, he plays that really well.
Yeah, that's what he needs to do.
The best thing that he ever did on that show, in my opinion, is when he was in the hospital and Mick Foley came to cheer him up.
Oh.
And he was just like, God damn it. Leave me alone. Get out of here. And then, of course, Austin comes in and unloads with the bedpan on.
Oh, I'll take it from here, nurse.
Oh, I'll take it from...
That to me is like when McMahon's at his best.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like exasperated and disgusted by what's going on around him.
That's true.
When he's like the happy-go-lucky, happy new year pal guy.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just ridiculous.
Happy new year, pal! Happy New Year! Happy New Year, pal! I'm like, is this really happening right now?
It's like he's melting down right in front of us.
Happy New
Year! He's having like a circuit board fry right there.
Like, you okay, Vince? You okay?
Happy New Year, pal!
And then when they came out and did the Royal Rumble drawing, who comes out first, That was literally the worst Vince McMahon acting segment I've ever seen.
Oh, when he couldn't open the balls?
Yeah, and Stephanie was just like, kill me now. Just somebody kill me now.
I'm telling you, I think some of them were just glued shut because those were the ones that they didn't want him to open. I don't, who the fuck knows? Vince is back there like doing who knows what.
I know. And his guys that are like are advising him are Pat Patterson and the Road Dog. You know? It's like, might be time for some new blood.
It's been time for some new blood.
I would walk in there and I go, let me tell you something right now, Vince. You're going to lower the show for by an hour. It's way too long. You got to make 2 hours. And then you got to put certain people over, not put microphone on other people's head. And the best thing is, make it surprises. Because I'm big on surprises.
Do you remember when 3 hours of Raw, like every once in a while, was awesome? Like they would randomly do it, a 3 hour show, and it was fucking good.
And then only being like one shitty segment where you would go and get something to eat or drink. And you'd come back and you're like, what'd I miss?
No, you missed what was his name? Savio Vega.
Savio Vega.
You missed a Michinoku driver. Or the oddity.
Hey, Taka Michinoku was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of him, did you guys hear about that cruiserweight tournament that they're going to have on the network?
I saw a little bit about it. I'm interested to see who some of the people are involved.
Yeah, that should be. They're supposed to have some guys from Lucha Underground, so that should be cool.
Yeah, hey, speaking of a random thought that just popped into my head, do you remember when we had, who was the guest that we had that was out of Phoenix? Was it Berchick?
Yeah.
Remember he was talking about that event with MMA wrestling and...
Oh, yeah.
Did you see they released some information on that?
Oh, no, what they say?
Yeah, they're having an event. It's like pro wrestling, MMA, and boxing. And, like, Michael Bisping's going to be involved. They listed a lot of the names involved, and it sounds really cool. The Miz is involved.
Oh, wow.
Roy Jones Jr. is fighting a fan. It's like you can enter some fan contest, and if you win and you fight him and beat him, you get, like, $150,000.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No, I mean, it's obviously not going to happen. But, I mean, it sounds like a pretty kind of a cool little thing that they're throwing together down there with some pretty interesting names.
I saw people on the flyer for that, but I don't remember. I thought I saw Rafael Dos Anjos.
Really?
Yeah, but that can't be. He's too busy being awesome. You know, you kind of segued into a little thing here with Bisping that I would like to go through. The guy is on the back half of his career, would we agree?
Absolutely.
Do you think the time for trying to market yourself is over? Like, you're where you at. You're where you are at now. You're not going to get people more excited or less excited or more excited to see you fight anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've been around for close to...
Yeah, you're not going to forge new ground at this point.
Right. You're not... suddenly people are going to be in the mainstream going, oh, Michael Bisping, yeah, he's that British guy, like they do with Conor McGregor. It's not going to happen. So he's got a job on Fox Sports doing his analysis and all that shit. What... and after people like friends of mine like Kendall and King Mo that are friends with Bisping tell me he's an awesome dude, and I'm like, okay, I'll like him. You know, apparently all this other stuff was just antics. But when he goes out and does the shit that he just did to Anderson Silva, I'm like, what the fuck? How am I supposed to like this guy? He just walks in the room and he's like, and just a total dick.
Yeah, I saw that after you told me about it. I watched it today and it was weird. At first he came in and he just made a joke, you know, no Viagra, ha ha ha. But then, like, Anderson Silva said, yeah, I understand you've never been to the top. And, you know, Bisping was like, yeah, you're on steroids, you're a cheater. And then it just, like, got really fucking mean-spirited. And, yeah, Bisping was being a real tool.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, that's not really going to endear you to anybody, you know. And it's like, it's not going to further sell the fight, I don't think. It's not a good look for Bisping. I honestly believe that Bisping's a good guy, but he has a character flaw. And that flaw is sometimes when he's in public and he gets challenged on any level, he just turns into a giant dickhead.
Well, I can't believe he hasn't gotten more shit for his in his career. Because if you go back historically, and I have, because I hated him for a long time, till people were like, nah, nah, he's cool. All right.
Yeah.
But I went and checked almost every weigh-in, interviews, he calls people faggots.
What?
Oh, yeah. And that's like the most un-PC thing you could possibly do in 2016. And he never gets shit for it. You know, he never, they never really, like, talk about it, look into it, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm talking weigh-ins. There was a post-fight one that Bisping, I think he used that word, and Dana was like, haha, we don't use that word. And then Bisping was like, no, shut up, yes we do, blah, blah, blah. Like, he got mad, you know?
Yeah. I remember when Bisping spit on Jorge Rivera's corner.
Yeah. Spit on their corner. When he ran Anderson in some of the open workouts, he was like, fuck you. You know, he had to be escorted out. He calls people, he's just always throwing stones, you know, and I just don't get it. I mean, maybe he's just joking, like, yeah, okay, dickhead, like, that's your friend. But, you know, I don't call, like, you guys are my friends, and I don't call you dickheads unless you're being a dickhead.
You don't,
fair enough.
You don't call your friends retarded unless he's acting retarded.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a dickhead, if you're acting like a dickhead, yeah, I'll be like, you dickhead, you know, but to someone you're fighting and you're just like,
yeah,
calling them names and doing this and poking at them, I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I just think it was a case where, like, Bisping went to be a smartass and got challenged a little bit and doesn't know how to back down and ended up turning, like, what could have been, like, a little funny, playful kind of, you know, mean, maybe a little bit mean-spirited thing back and forth to just to an ugly situation where, like you said, he had to be escorted out of there, and you could see that Anderson Silva, for his part, was kind of embarrassed afterwards, and it's just like, it's just fucking unnecessary. It's just not, it's not something that he has to do at this point in his career.
Nope.
And it's not cool. But real quick, just going back to that thing in Arizona.
So I watch it, and I'm like, yes?
No, go ahead, sorry.
Wait, what?
You cut him off, Evan.
Oh, no.
Dickhead.
Said, real quick, going back to the thing in Arizona, and I was waiting
for
you to say.
Oh, I just wanted to say that from what I've seen so far, it's Roy Jones is boxing, MMA, Ken Shamrock versus Dan Severn, Michael Bisping versus Chael Sonnen in a grappling match, and in a pro wrestling match, Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio.
Oh, Kurt Angle.
That's all they've announced so far.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bisping's grappling Sonnen? Why would you do that? Sonnen's a really good grappler.
Probably just to make some of that money, yo.
I guess.
It's just grappling, you know. The worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to get fucking armbarred or choked by Sonnen. You don't have to worry about a fucking knee bar losing your knee or anything, or an ankle lock.
I guess not. Well, who's Shamrock going against?
Shamrock's going against Dan Severn.
In what? Like
MMA.
So wait, now he's fighting? When is this? That's why Dan's like, I do not sound like that.
I do not sound like that. Jabba-dabba-doo-bop, yeah.
He's like the happiest guy ever.
I do not sound like that. Jabba-dabba-doo-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop.
Oh, God, I deserve that. March 20th.
I mean, he does this stuff, and then right down, he gets butthurt about it, like, ah, you guys making fun of me. And then he'll do it, like, to a T.
Yeah, you sound like the happiest guy ever, just walking down the street.
let me look it up real quick.
The worst part about that is, I fucking deserve it. As soon as I started doing it, I was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Why am I doing this? Don't sing, Dan, don't sing.
That's my guy looking stuff up on the internet.
Oh, my God, that's so awesome.
Yeah, it's March 20th.
Okay, so 1 month from when he fights Hoist, he's supposed to fight Severn.
Well, I'm not trying to be a jackass or anything. But my guess is that he and Severn will have something worked out before the fight.
But are you going to say it's going to be a work?
I think it's possible, yeah. You have two guys that are that old and they're...
both with pro wrestling backgrounds?
Yeah, I think that they're going to maybe, I don't know, I think it could be something in the water there that's not quite MMA.
Hey, Dion, you remember when I was, like, kind of doing that work for Ken Shamrock and I was telling you some of the shit that he would say to me and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Do you remember what I told you about Dan Severin?
No.
Okay, you remember when Severin was in the WWE?
Yes.
And he walked around with that briefcase?
A little bit.
Dan, do you remember that?
Of course I remember that. I can't believe that Dion doesn't remember that.
Because he was like hired. He got hired from by somebody, right? Was it?
I don't remember. But he was walking around with a briefcase all the time, and you didn't know what was in the briefcase, like Marcellus Wallace.
Okay.
And I guess what Ken told me was that at one point, like, you know, you remember Dan Severn would always walk to the ring with wearing a like a gray cutoff sweatshirt thing.
Yeah.
Well, they made him, like, I guess before he was just going to go to the ring with no shirt on, and they forced him to put a shirt on. So that's why he never wrestled with his shirt off in the WWE. Because they were like, dude, no. You need to wear a shirt if you're going to get in the ring. So
that's terrible.
And meanwhile, Viscera, fucking...
Oh.
I think Viscera could... Viscera, they had one outfit. And had to kind of keep that whole thing on, you know? Because...
I'm surprised they didn't make him wear titty tape.
Like booby tassels?
Yeah!
That's going to be the new shit now.
Fuck. I know. It's fucking horrible. I'm just like the happiest white guy ever, just looking stuff up on the internet for Devin.
It sounded like you're 1940s and shit.
I wasn't the one whistling like I was in 1940s.
You know, no, that was me. I did that. That was me.
Let me go look this stuff on the up on the internet, Dion.
Oh, my.
Okay, fuck off.
Oh, shit. Dan is the best. Don't make fun of me for that, okay? That's exactly what I'm going to do as soon as I get on the radio. Yeah. Every time. And whatever you do, don't make fun of me for that.
There's something highly embarrassing, though. Don't tell anybody or make fun of me for it.
Well, then don't tell me not to do that, and I won't. I'll forget. I'm half the time not even listening.
Yeah, I hear you.
So somebody said, don't do something, we're going to do the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, you know me. This is like my M.O. Evan, listen. I don't want you to do... I don't want you to do blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to do that times 100 then.
I'm like, Evan, don't talk about that tweet I did on the Super Bowl, please. Oh, really?
Oh, what tweet was that?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It's not the same without a sad face.
Sad emoji. Face emoji with a tear.
Oh, my God.
He's never looked better.
He never looked more pathetic, muggle.
I know. Fuck.
I don't know if it's worse, you doing that or me going like, dabba dabba doo bop.
You know what's worse? It was me. like a little bitch.
That was the worst thing. For those of you who don't know, Dion and his girl broke up and something happened. And Dion had an out-of-body experience, lost his way, and like a dumbass.
Lost my balls.
Lost his balls, not like a man, and goes takes to Twitter like, it's not the same without you here. Something like that.
Sad face emoji.
Sad face emoji.
That's what put me over the edge.
And Dan lost it. Oh, fuck no. He didn't put no sad face emoji on that bitch.
You are a grown man.
Before
David, you are a boy.
Before I even could pick my phone up, Dan was texting me. Hey, talk to your man.
Okay. Get your boy right.
I'm like, yo, you got something to say? You better kick that shit off the internet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I guess I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you shouldn't have done that. You know, you see someone post something on Twitter or on Facebook, they make that post, and you're like, oh, no, you didn't do that. You're a racist.
I have nothing but love for Dion, but as soon as I saw that, I literally stopped what I was doing, picked up my phone, and tweeted, and texted Evan immediately.
Would you look at this?
Will you look at this?
Did you see what Dion posted? Look at this. Does somebody come and look at this? Dion's posting on Twitter again.
Fucked up.
Man, that's your boys looking out for you right there. That wasn't even like a hateful thing. That was like a...
It wasn't. It was like, man, get it together, man. Put your head up, man. Damn.
Yeah, I still have it right here. I saw it at like 4:09 p.m. At 4:12 p.m. I texted Evan. Text your boy and yell at him for public acts of Twitter sadness. Unacceptable.
Acts of being a bitch.
And then Evan was like, I am. And I was like, good, man, because that's just horrendous.
Yeah.
I was in the middle.
I was sad for you, but at the same time.
Man, it's not sad, man. It's part of life.
Just don't do that.
Yeah,
it's part of life. Everybody gets broken up with.
Yeah, you don't put it out there.
Yeah.
You don't say that.
Make blogs and stuff, but you don't mention people by name.
You write that shit down in a notebook and fucking throw it away when you're done.
You know how many times I've tweeted something? I should just delete that. I'm not even gonna go.
You don't actually ever go back and delete it, though, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Tweet and delete.
Are you serious?
All the time. No, I don't tweet it. I delete it
started,
before I tweet
it. You start writing it, being
so
like,
what kind of
yeah.
shit are you thinking about tweeting that you're actually not tweeting if the stuff that you are tweeting is like, considered reserved? And Evan on edit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Jesus. You must have, like, just... brutal tweets that you go back and delete.
Yeah, there are some that I'm just like, I can't do this, because then I'm going to get into it, and then it's going to go on and on and on. Usually it's with just randoms. That's the thing. Like, the shit is, like, just killing somebody. And I'm just like, I'll just let them call me an asshole and move on, because if I don't, they're going to just keep going. And with some, you saw the guy I was arguing with on Twitter the other day.
Oh, God.
And he was like, name me a top five opponent and top five fighter in Bellator. And I go, it doesn't matter. No matter what I say, you're going to disagree with it because you think UFC is like, if you're in the UFC, you're just better than everybody, no matter what. No matter who you are, you're just better. And he's
I hate
like,
people like that.
And he's like, oh, no, well, see, you didn't even answer my question. And I'm like, I know. Because
it's like, at some point, you just got to let that guy just fucking chalk it up in the wind column for himself and move on with your life.
Whatever. You just have a Twitter. It was the best thing. He goes, you have a Twitter just because you will try to lick a bunch of professional fighters' balls so you could sell art. And
damn.
I go, what did I call him? I go, they come to me, dummy. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. Just like there's a top five fighter in Bellator. And then I was like, okay.
Goodbye.
I only have a video of Anderson Silva with my artwork as his entire wall. But, yeah, no, I'm doing it so I can get fighters to kiss my ass. Yeah.
You should have just pulled a Kevin Owens and blocked that motherfucker.
Nah, his blocking is just, I mean, the only time I'll block someone is if they're like, horrible, like, cruel people to someone else. Usually it's not me, you know?
Yeah.
But if someone's like, you know, Rhonda, you should have died, you know? You said you would commit suicide. Those are the people I'm
people
like...
People are fucking assholes.
What did you guys think of that anyway? Rhonda on Ellen and kind of burying her soul. I know Dan's not a big fan of Rhonda, but she had to still kind of be like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of Rhonda as a fighter, but I like, you know, Rhonda a human being, and I thought that it was good that she said what she said, and it's sad at the same time, and I mean, I think that everyone has kind of, like, been in a place where they've been pretty down and depressed before. And if everyone, like, went on a talk show and admitted their deepest feelings and, like, their biggest things that have made them hurt and the things that, you know, they've been sad about, you know, no one wants to have the balls to do that.
Nope.
So I give her credit for doing it. And the people that are judging her or shitting on her for that, just, you know, stay in your own lane. Do your own thing. Grow the fuck up a little bit and... worry about the shit that's happening inside your four walls, and don't worry about what she's doing.
Yep.
Be nice to each other.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a lot easier.
Yeah. I agree.
It's a lot easier than, you know. But then again, most of the people that are hated, 50% of them are doing it just to hate. Like, they create accounts just to be assholes, because they think it's funny. And here's the thing. I'm an asshole because I'm an asshole. I don't like people that try to do it to be funny. Okay, I take being an asshole very seriously. You messing up my game by getting online. trying to talk shit to people that you don't need to. Right? This isn't a choice. This is real.
It's real to me, damn it.
This is real. I'm a real asshole. You a fake asshole. Right? This is a curse. This is something you're born with. This isn't something that's learned. Yeah.
I don't know about all that, buddy.
Nah.
No.
But the point, you get my point. I'm a happy asshole. I'm a fine asshole. But if someone...
There's a difference between being a dickhead / asshole, where you're just saying things to, you know, that are genuinely at their core funny and not meant to hurt people, and the person that lays in wait for someone to bear a secret about themselves or have a moment of depression or a moment of, you know, where they mess up and do something and then just pounce on that person.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you put me on Ellen on that show, I'll tell you whatever you want to know about me. But I'll be on Ellen. A lot more people know about me. Maybe we could change the show to the Crimson Ellen podcast.
Do it.
She would sponsor us. Ellen, you should sponsor us.
Ellen, come on, you know you want to.
And we have the same haircut.
I don't. I've got that really long hair, remember?
Yeah, that's the thing, is Ellen looks more feminine than you. I mean, less feminine than you.
What the fuck? You obviously don't... Oh, will you look at this, Dion?
Somebody come and look at this.
Look at this.
He's an asshole.
Check yourself,
He's
children.
An asshole. See, there you go. But it's in a good way. It's a nice way. Of course I don't mean that you're more feminine looking than her. Maybe.
Don't. Yeah.
Right, Dion?
Either way, it's not going to make me cry. So, and it's a difference in if I came out and said, you know, I'm really depressed, I'm considered suicide, and you're like, you should do it, you're more feminine than fucking Ellen. You know?
Well, are we recording?
Yeah. I'm just saying, that's the difference.
Dan comes out, I want to kill myself. All right. Are we recording? Because I got a lot of shit to say.
Remember that time Dan came out on Crimson Canvas and said he wanted to kill himself?
I knew I shouldn't have told you guys on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, you fucked up by saying that.
Yeah, I'm happy for Rhonda saying what she said. You know, if that's what her feelings were, then, you know, good for her, you know, having the courage to come out and say it. And I'm glad that if, you know, it was just a momentary depression or thought, then I'm glad she's bounced back from it. And more power to her.
Yeah, you know, people really read into shit too much. Like, has there ever been a time that I'm like, oh, man, I need to just check out? Yeah, like 5 times today. Like, fuck, I don't want to go pick my kid up. What if I was just dead? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, like, you just, like, it doesn't mean that it's ever going to happen. I'm terrified of death. There's no way I'm ever going to kill myself. But there's been situations where I'm just like, man,
fuck it.
I wish I was just... I just wish I wasn't here right now, you know? It doesn't mean you're going to go and, like, those thoughts are, like, people are like, depression is real. I'm like, well, easy with that. No one's saying she's depressed. She's just sitting there thinking, like, fuck, like, this sucks so much. I wish I wasn't here.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, like, for a moment she was like, you know, I won't have the respect of my fans. I don't know where to go from here. You know, I should just kill myself.
This is the feeling. Believe me.
Yeah.
Yeah. People have those. That shit happens.
Yeah.
And
I've looked at
when it does, and you have the courage to fucking address it like she did.
It's gonna make her stronger at the end of the day. She's gonna be a better.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with having feelings. Whatever's going on in your head, that's fine. And if you if you verbalize it, that's a different story. Okay, so you tell people, big deal. Look, let me tell you something, people. I look at fat, disgusting asses all day, and I'm like, maybe? You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't do it, but I'm just saying.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's just a thought. Doesn't mean I need help, but maybe.
You might need help with that.
I'm telling you, look at Dion. Dion, you live with a woman you live with your ex-girlfriend's mother, which is absolutely out of your damn mind. But you're still a man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a couple of times that you're like, well, nah.
Whoa. Let me just see if I'm picking up what you're putting down. Are you saying that there's times where Dion looks at his ex's mom and is like, eh? That could happen tonight if I drink enough wine.
No.
He's
no.
just saying that because...
I'm saying in his head, you just...
She's a woman.
If she's a woman, he's a man, and you look at her and you're just like, eh.
Jesus, don't put that in Dion's head. He's still very fragile.
I guarantee you, Dion, she walking up the stairs, I want to show you something. You walk up behind her, like, giving her that... Dion looks like, mm-hmm. You get to the top.
Next thing you know, you're giving her the thunder stick, and
no,
you're on Twitter.
Oh, no, that's the thing. It doesn't mean he's going to act on it. You just...
Shut up, Evan. In my fucking world, he acts on it.
Oh, my God.
This is how porno movies start.
Yeah,
the daughter comes home from college and they have a three-way and it's called Tap.
Could you come help me open the mayonnaise jar?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, honey.
Because we know black people have tons of experience opening mayonnaise jars.
Yeah, fuck mayonnaise.
All right,
man.
Are you more comfortable with peanut butter?
You know black people don't like mayonnaise, right? That's a white people thing.
I don't know what black people like and what they don't like.
What? It's a fact.
Black people don't like mayonnaise?
Damn, Dan, where have you been?
All right, dude.
Have you not seen Undercover Brother?
Well, that's true. I did see
Undercover Brother. We love our
that's
son,
right.
too.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm like, this is academic. Any black guy that ever comes on this show for the future, we're going to ask him if he likes mayonnaise. And anyone that says, oh, yeah, I love
it. I'm going to be like, fuck yeah.
Ryan.
Like, you're a liar.
You're a liar. You're a bold-faced liar.
You're a liar. You're a liar.
Like, man, I'm white, and I don't like my name. I'm never like, yeah.
You know
yeah.
why, Evan? I told you why. You're not really white. You're a brother.
I'm a little bit of a brother.
Yes.
Or not.
Oh, my God. You see how offended Dan gets when you say
I'm not.
He is not a brother.
You are not, dude. You are a white Jewish male. You are not.
You are not.
You better fucking accept that you're white.
You are white. You're white, okay, Evan? You're white.
I'm white, but if black people going to accept me into their culture, so be it. Dion accepts me, so that means black people accept me. Dan,
Dion
looking at Dan, Dan's like, can I come to the club with you guys? And Dion's like, son.
So wait, I can't come to the club now?
Listen to his voice! You ever heard. So wait,
I can't come to the club right now? Is that what...
You see what I'm saying? People look at...
I don't understand what's happening right now.
Damn.
If you're listening to this, people, well, obviously you're listening to this. But you're listening to this, and Dan is always arguing, like, I'm not that white. I don't talk like that. Well, listen to him.
Sorry, Dan. You just own it. You're awesome.
Just fuck it. Just take it.
I'm a happy white guy.
You are. You are the happiest white guy I've ever met.
I am embracing my whiteness. So be it. That's how it is.
How many times a day do you catch yourself skipping and whistling at the same time?
I don't want to get to the point where we're talking about specifics, but it's happened.
I skip and do the New Day beat all day, every day. New Day rocks. All day, Dan.
Thank you for clapping so the people who are listening...
I hope they can clap, too.
They clap along with me.
Yeah,
they better.
Clap along.
They better.
You motherfuckers.
You know, do you guys watch Up, Up, Down, Down?
No, I need to
I've
start.
Watched a little bit. I can't say that I watch it consistently.
Have you ever watched it?
Yes.
That's a great show. That's Xavier Woods' YouTube channel, and it's pretty damn entertaining. I just watched one... They were playing 2K16, WWE 2K16. It was all three guys in New Day and Tyler Breeze.
That's awesome.
Everybody was playing themselves, but except Kofi was Brock Lesnar.
Attaboy Kofi.
And I think, was Big E? Someone was Titus, I can't remember. It's so cool to watch these things because it's like... Tyler Breeze is playing with his shirt off, like he just got out of the ring. He's still sweating. There's handprints on his chest, you know, like you can't see the handprints during the matches usually. Those are those like horrible, unflattering light that they have above the ring. But when you're in the back and it's shitty lighting and you can see everything and moles and all that crap, you could see the garbage on someone's body, and you could see like literally five finger hand slap on their
damn.
Chin.
Jeez.
Yeah. So it's cool as hell, man, because they just out of the ring, and then they play 2K16, and they just four guys playing 2K16, and it's funny. It's like listening to a podcast, but with people funnier than us.
I doubt that.
I like that, Dion. Stand strong, buddy.
I doubt that. You don't.
I doubt
that. I'll tell you what, Xavier Woods is a funny ass dude.
He is funny.
He ain't funnier than me, baby.
By the way, Xavier Woods he's what makes New Day, or he made New Day.
Oh yeah, for sure. He is the king of New Day.
His trombone was one of the greatest things ever.
He's very, very funny.
Well, the first one when they were booing him, the first time, they were like trying to be faces, but everyone was booing him. And Xavier's like, why are you booing? We're winning!
Yeah.
That shit killed me.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I'm honestly thinking, and tell me if you feel this same way, gentlemen, but in this day and age with so much social media, YouTube, you know, the WWE Network, the Breaking Ground, them admitting that the whole thing, everything's fake and blah, 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 and you just knowing, like, they're playing a character. Kofi goes on television saying, this isn't my character talking, this is me talking.
Yeah.
You know, like, with all that being said, do you find it kind of harder to find, like, actual heels? Like, because you know people are totally, they're full of shit. If they're being a heel, no one's like, oh, big deal, he turned his back on him. So what?
Yeah.
He's an actor. It's a show. Are you finding it to kind of feel like it's less exciting now? Because, like even, like, last night or Monday, the Dudley Boys, like, whatever, tried to turn heel, and the first thing you do when you turn heel is say, we don't care about you, and point to the fans. Everybody does that. I don't care what you dumb people think. But when you hear all that shit, are you kind of like, come on. First off, your real name's not Bubba.
You can go first, Dan.
Well, I mean, to some extent, yeah. I mean, I don't know, dude. I don't really even care about faces and heels and stuff. I just like people who do good character work. I just get behind, like, people who play a part well, whatever it is. Like, Seth Rollins, to me, I don't categorize him as a face or a heel. I just consider him to be a fucking super talented wrestler. And it's like, I think it's the reason it's hard for people to, like, buy into faces and heels, like you said, is because it's all so open now. So social media and everything else. You have the guys driving to their shows together on the WWE Network, and there's just no magic to it anymore. There's no, like, behind-the-curtain stuff. Everything is just all right out in your face.
I hear what you're saying. Like, there's no, like, real heat between, like, wrestlers anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it, because we all know that for a long time. Like, when you find out wrestling is fake and you still, like, are big fans, then, like, we all know it's fake. We all know that, like, most of them are cool backstage. But once they get in the ring, it's all about what they're doing in the ring and shit. But, like, it's cool to see them outside of the ring and how they are in their regular lives. I think that's really awesome. Because, really, we never got to see that before until now.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, is it harder to believe that you're like, dude, why are you trying to fool me? We all know this is a show. Why are there heels?
Well,
why are there heels and faces? Like, you think?
I think that another side of it, Evan, is that a lot of what they're shooting at is for a younger audience. You know, the whole PG era and all that stuff.
Which is dumb.
They're not aiming it at fucking 45-year-old fucking, you know, guys who see through everything and are like, I'm cynical. You can't fucking fool me. You're supposed to suspend disbelief. It's like when you go see, like, Jurassic Park or Jurassic World or whatever it was. You know that shit doesn't exist, but in order for it to be entertaining, you have to suspend that, and you have to believe that's
exactly.
The so when you watch wrestling, I mean, they don't insult your intelligence by, you know, saying that these are real heels and these are faces, blah, blah, blah. In order for you to want to buy the ticket and take the ride, you have to be willing to make that concession. And if you're not, you're not going to be entertained by it in that way.
I just personally feel like, with all the social media, with all the interactions, the Twitter, and you can actually talk to these people now. Like Dion said, it's like the magic is kind of like, cater into little kids. It's grown men and women buy the tickets. You know what I mean? So it's,
agreed.
So, like, I don't know. I think that it's just so hard to, like, watching the Dudleys try and go heel was just the dumbest thing to me. I'm like, big deal. So people are going to still say we want tables. People are going to still say, you know, D-Von was up, even though that's 8 years old and or 12 years old or whatever it is. So I don't know. That maybe that could be why we're all such pains in the asses about these shows, about how to make it better, because nothing is awesome anymore when you watch it. There's no Ultimate Warrior that was like your childhood, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it should be pretty clear to the WWE that that's the case too, when they have a show and people are chanting yes and what. You know, when's the last time Steve Austin was in the ring doing the what? And people still chant it. I mean, what is it, the current thing other than New Day Rocks, are people really getting with and chanting in the ring, you know?
That's crazy.
Other than Suplex City, I guess. It's just like people long for the older days of wrestling because it was more entertaining. I mean, it's like anything else. After a while, it runs in spurts, I think. You know, the WWE, I mean, you go back and watch when Doink the Clown was on and all that. That stuff is fucking mind-numbingly fucking stupid. But it's just a cycle of what wrestling runs through, and the Attitude Era was awesome, and now we're kind of in a fucking bit of a slump, and hopefully whatever comes next is good again.
You know, and it's funny because it's rarely about the ability.
Oh, yeah, it's all about the package.
The entertainment is just horrible right now.
Arguably, the biggest star ever was Hulk Hogan, you know. And he can't. He
had a leg drop.
He still can't wrestle.
No, he never could wrestle.
Yeah, but he had that look. He had that persona. He had that spark. That shit. And that's the thing, man. Like,
yeah, Ultimate Warrior couldn't wrestle either.
Yeah. So
you go back and look at like WrestleMania, and see the Ricky Steamboat Macho Man match. How fucking glorious that was! And to have that play second fiddle to fucking the Warrior and Hogan and their fucking Sergeant Slaughter and all those dipshits who can't wrestle. It's travesty.
Talking about WrestleMania 3?
Yeah.
That was Hogan and Andre main event.
Okay, Hogan and Andre, yeah. But I mean, it's just like, it's never really been about who can flat out go in the ring. It's always been about who they can package and make sell tickets and t-shirts. You know, that's why there's a lot of talk right now that they're actually finally going to turn John Cena heel.
It's about time.
Because his merchandise has slowed down so much. The young kids aren't buying as much. And that was always the big reason why they never turned him heel. They were afraid of how it would affect his merchandise, because he's the number one selling merchandiser by so much in the WWE.
Dude.
And they were always afraid to upset that.
If Cena turns heel, He would be so great at that.
Oh, absolutely. He'd be awesome as a heel. He always said that he wouldn't because he didn't want to betray the kids and blah, blah, blah.
Fuck the kids!
You can't fucking... You can't...
Fuck the kids!
Fuck the kids! You can't fucking, buy into your own brand that much. At the end of the day, you have to do what's best for, like, your character's development. And John Cena turning heel right now would be fucking glorious.
Like Kofi said, we'll still fight the kids. But it's out of love.
Yeah. I don't know, man. WWE's pissing me off.
And they only got a month and a half before WrestleMania. They got a lot of work to do.
Yep.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see how that turns out. Undertaker, you're going to come back a week before WrestleMania on Raw. And we're going to start a feud with the Social Outcasts.
Oh, Undertaker versus Adam Rose? Oh, my God.
I would boycott WrestleMania.
But really, honestly, would you put it past them?
I don't put anything past him at this point. Literally, like I said, Vince McMahon is just like, I don't know, like the pumps run dry, and they're just like, he needs to be put out to pasture.
All right, that's enough wrestling talk. Can we get into some fighting?
Yep, Justin Rinn, it's a shame that he's on the undercard this week. So
he's on the undercard?
I believe so. That's what I was told.
A New York Times bestseller goes on the undercard, huh? Yeah.
Typical bullshit. Let me make sure he's on this card even. Yeah, Justin Rinn on the preliminary card.
Some horse Pucky.
Yep.
I'm waiting for that Ken Shamrock fight.
Yeah, Ken Shamrock, Kimbo Slice, Emmanuel Newton versus Linton Vassell, Derek Campos versus Melvin Gillard, and Daniel Pineda versus and Emmanuel Sanchez is the main card. And Justin Rinn is on the undercard.
There's only one fight that matters, and that's Shamrock versus Gracie.
Spice versus Dada Fatale.
That doesn't matter.
Dude, that's the fucking fight I'm most interested in.
What? For what reason? Seriously. Give me a legitimate reason.
I want to see what's going to happen. It's two fucking backyard brawlers entering the cage. I like Dada 5000.
He can't fight for shit.
That remains to be seen, my good friend.
Okay. You see him hitting pads?
Yeah, but that's just hitting pads.
Yeah, well, most people look good hitting pads.
That's true.
they look better hitting pads than faces. That's kind of like the whole thing.
Dude, don't shit on Dada 5000 for me. I'm still holding on to the dream. He's going to come in and flatline Kimbo in like 10 seconds.
Only person that could do that is Seth Petruzzelli, and he is retired.
God bless you, Seth.
The only one that could do that is Seth Petruzzelli going backwards with the jab, sort of.
Remember that fucking Jared, the kid's...
Scala.
Scala. Remember how butthurt he was?
Not as bad as
Kimbo was getting lit up. He's like, stop, interference or something. He was trying to get the referee to...
No, he said he was hit him in the back of the head.
Yeah, hit him in the back of the head or something. He was trying to get the referee to interfere and stop it.
And then did an interview going, no, it's great. It's great for us. It builds this. It builds that.
Yeah.
And then they shut the doors down like 2 days later.
Yeah, that
was... like, literally, that was it.
Oh, Scala.
Scala. With a dollar sign.
Yep. The glory days. So who do you like, Shamrock or Hoist Gracie?
We know both Dion and I are going to pick Ken Shamrock. I mean, come on.
Kenny.
You got to always pick Kenny.
Kenny will pick Shamrock.
If he loses.
I'm going with Hoist Gracie.
What? How?
Submission. Same as back in the day. Ain't nothing changed.
But, I mean, Ken Shamrock gets knocked out now. He doesn't get submitted.
Ken Shamrock couldn't finish a fight. I don't have a punchline for that, but he just can't finish fights. Ken Shamrock, like I said earlier, had Kimbo Slice's back with two hooks in and an arm under the chin for 3.5 minutes and couldn't submit Kimbo Slice. And we all know Kimbo Slice isn't exactly a jiu-jitsu expert.
Has he ever been submitted?
Who?
Kimbo.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Okay, well... maybe his ground game is better than you think it is. Kimbo Slice has not ever been submitted, as far as I know.
He's only been taken down once, and it was by Shamrock, who
so apparently
literally had two hooks
amazing.
In and a fucking arm under the chin and couldn't submit him.
His wrestling's good, too, then. And they train him out of ATT. They got shit going on down there, you know.
We'll fucking see. I doubt it, very seriously.
What, is Dada 5000 going to take him down?
No, Dada's going to put them hands on. He's going to put them bricks on.
Those bricks, son.
Yep.
Stop.
I'm telling you, dude.
All right.
He's going to put Kimbo Slice on the ground.
Now, is this something you hope happens or something you actually think is going to happen?
No, I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to get fucking beat the shit out.
Okay.
But I hope it happens.
Okay, well, here's hoping.
It sounds like you got a fucking... banana, or not a banana, a carrot peeler. You're sitting there peeling
yeah,
carrots.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
That was fucking great.
All right, so that is our introduction, ladies and gentlemen. We have Bruce Buffer, the voice of the Octagon, up next. Great interview, classy guy, nothing like the opening segment of this show. And stick around, and we will be right back with the incredible Bruce Buffer.
Thank you.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Crimson Canvas podcast. Evan Showman here, joined by my man Dan Rose. And on the air, we have the voice of the Octagon, Mr. Bruce Buffer. Bruce, what's happening, man? It's been a while, and I know life's treating you well.
You know, it's been a long time, Evan. You're always one of my favorites. Dan, how are you? I'm happy to be on the show. It's a very special week for me, which I'll explain to you in a second.
Well, yeah, give it to us. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I didn't really, make any big deal about it. I think I might have mentioned at the MMA Awards where I was so surprised and honored and humbled by the Lifetime Achievement Award I got there. But coincidentally, yesterday was my 20-year anniversary of announcing in the Octagon for my first event at UFC 8 in Bayamon, Puerto Rico. So I didn't get a gold watch. I'm not retiring. I plan on going another 10 to 20 years. But it just was a milestone in my life that I sat back last night, when everybody had gone, I had some alone time, and I thought, wow. I just started thinking about everything that's happened over the last 20 years. It's just so amazing. So, as I say, time flies when you're having fun,
Absolutely. I mean, you Google pictures of you. You try to Google pictures of you for the flyer that Dan and I are putting out, and, a lot of the pictures that come up are you in the Octagon, announcing someone, screaming, and the fighter is right there with you. Do you guys talk about that beforehand? There's one with you and TJ Dillashaw that's really cool, where you're just right in his face and he's so amped up. Do you know which fighters you're going to do that with, or is it just kind of a spur of the moment kind of thing?
It's completely spur of the moment because I never rehearse. I don't announce in the shower or in the hotel room before I get out there. I might do a couple of exercises just to tune up my throat. But outside of that, I feel the energy of the crowd. When I walk out into the arena and I get that energy, my energy is already amped to enhance that moment, especially for these great warriors and for the fans watching. As I always say, the show's not about me. It's about the fighters and the fans, just giving them what they want to see and giving the fighters what they need. And I know what it's like to, stand across from, another human being and get ready to take their head off or them take my head off. I know what it's like today. It's like I just want to give everything I can to those fighters because they've been training for 8 weeks and now they're going out and they got the eye of the tiger. And I find myself sometimes, with Chuck Liddell or, so many different fighters, it's like when I'm roaring their name, I'm literally 2 feet away from them. It's almost like magic feet. It's like, how did I get over here? But it's. The bottom line is I go out there to have fun. I throw my heart on the Octagon floor. I'm very passionate about what I do. And if I rehearsed it and practiced it, it wouldn't come across the same. So I like to work organically. I like to go out there and just have everything natural and give 150% every night I walk out there.
Well, and I don't know if you know this, Dan, but I think it was UFC 100, Lesnar and Frank Mir and Buffer, he did the Buffer 360. He did
Of course.
He did the full.
Now that, the full. That was a jump in the air airborne 360. I guess my martial arts training since I was 12, really paid off, including a little bit of dancing on the dance floor. But the thing was, is that now that one was sort of a tour de force with the emphasis from the fans and from Joe Rogan and the videos he was putting out, trying to get me to do that because Joe was pushing me on, you've done a 180, you do the 90s, you jump, you twist, you turn, whatever the case might be. What would you do to top that? I said, well, I could do a 360. I wanted to slap myself as soon as I said it because then all of a sudden, 5 days later, there's a video on YouTube from Joe where he took film of me, doing a 360 in an overcoat and suit in the back. And so then it became like a fanfare amongst the fans for 6 months before UFC 100. So I said, if I'm going to do it, I'll do it at UFC 100. And that night, I did, which I'm going to call rehearse, whatever. I was in my hotel room before walking down. I was all dressed up, ready to go. And I tried the 360 three times, and I slipped twice, right? So now I'm walking down the arena going, am I really going to do this? But it was on the carpet. It's a lot different than on a leash on that tarp that we have in the Octagon floor, or whatever you call it, the flooring. But when I walked out of the blue corner over to Frank Mir, over to Brock Lesnar from Frank Mir, I'm announcing in my left brain and in my right brain, which is working on the announcing, you better do this 360 or you're going to be the bitch of the internet on Monday morning. So I let it fly and everything worked out great. A screenwriter couldn't have written a better script. It just, I was very happy with that. But it's one and out. It's one and done.
I mean, I know you, said that, and you said it's going to take something really special. You know, we got UFC 200 coming up here, Bruce. I'm just saying that it could work.
Well, I'm sure, but, you know, if people are throwing at me like, yeah, do a 720, you know, do this, it's like, hey, I'm not a gymnast. I'm not an acrobat. You know, it's like that saying in that movie, Elephant Man, you know, I'm a human being. I'm not an animal. But the bottom line is I will go out at UFC 200, which will be the third show in a row again. You know, that's another three-show week, which is fine with me. I thrive off that. I got no problem with that. Everybody's worried my voice is going to go. It's like even the singer from the, you know, the Red Hot Chili Peppers in the audience is such a loyal, loyal fan. He's like, now, what are you doing to protect your voice? And we talked about it. But I'm like, give me four shows. I just get stronger with each show. But going out there for UFC 200, again, no rehearsal, no plans. What will happen will happen. But I don't want everybody to think that my performance is going to be based on doing something crazy and wild. But I guarantee you that I'll get that place going like there's no tomorrow. And who knows? Never say never. You know? But I'm not gonna give you an inch to create a yard, Evan, because I don't want any more campaigns on the internet about how I'm going to announce UFC 100.
Okay, well, how about this? We won't say anything, but we'll look for something special.
That sounds good. Whatever that might be, that sounds good.
Well, you never know. The buffer cartwheel, the buffer round off, the buffer backflip. I mean, who knows? You could be
spinning head kick.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, head kick is easy. I'll throw it. That's no problem. No problem. Maybe one of those Billy Jack inside crescent kicks, as I announced the name.
There you go.
Might be. But I talked to Sage Northcutt on my podcast, It's Time, and I had him on the show a few weeks ago, and I said, Sage, if I ever think of a fancy move, I'm going to need you to help me come train me and get it going. And, of course, that 19-year-old kid was like, yes, I'll be there. I'll do it, Mr. Buffer. I'll do it. What a great kid.
Mr. Buffer. I love that kid. And we're big fans of him over here. And a lot of people gave him a hard time, but, you know, he's awesome, man. He's a 19-year-old kid living the dream, like, get off of them. Why is everybody so mad?
You know, find somebody else at 19 that's accomplished what he's done. You know, everybody loves you on the way up, and they can't wait to tear you down. So, of course, you know, he loses, and everybody wants to tear him down. And you know as well as I do, he was having some health issues, which he didn't complain. He still got in there. I mean, he could have just said, I can't fight. But like you said, he was like breathing through a straw. So, and I really detailed it with him because I wondered what made him tap. You know, what was the key moment? But when you can't breathe, it's kind of a key moment, you know? And
yeah.
It's like with Ronda, as great as she is. Yeah, she lost, and she lost in a somewhat embarrassing way, you know, because she was really demolished. But the bottom line is, Ronda's still Ronda. You know, it's like, there's never going to be an undefeated fighter in our sport. You know that, Evan. That's not going to happen.
Nope. Probably not.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Although, I'm telling you, I think John Jones is, I mean, he's up there with, eventually, yeah, his day will come, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, that's the closest thing I've seen to just amazing that there is.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, John is absolutely amazing. We'll see what kind of a tour de force is going to be coming out. And, you know, I saw him at a recent show. He looks great. His mind is hopefully better than ever. You know, he's his own worst enemy. But, you know, we all have our issues, and especially when we're young and trying to get over and mature. But he has all the tools. And he's in a great mental place. And I know Dan Cormier, as cerebral fighter as he is training with everything he needs and knows to train to beat John. It's going to be a great fight, in my opinion. But John Jones is a monster. Right? The pound for pound, I think all of us agree he's the greatest fighter in MMA. You know, but he needs to come out again and prove himself again. It's been, what, a year or however long it's been since he's been in the octagon? You don't live on your laurels, my friend. You don't live on the past performance, right? That's like you saying, I had a great podcast last week. Well, that's great. It was last week. What are you doing today? It's all about today, and it's all about tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious. We're all curious to see, however. You know, it's funny. Some guys dominate, and then just suddenly, I mean, Dan, you ever notice that? Like, someone just suddenly goes flat. Like,
yeah.
Like, and they just can't get it back, no matter how hard they train. No matter what, it's like something just clicks where the whole game just passes him by.
You know, part of that is because you can be the greatest physical specimen, athletic-wise, otherwise, the greatest martial artist, you know, being able to pull everything off. But 75% of walking in that octagon and the 8 weeks leading up to that and every day before that that you're sitting in your house and contemplating what your next move is going to be, it's mental. It's a mental strength, mental awareness, mental fortitude. And sometimes a knockout can take that out of somebody. Demolishing win, as an example, what Rhonda went through, and she openly admitting, like on Ellen DeGeneres yesterday, you know, her thoughts of suicide and all that she went through mentally. You can't look down on her for all that. She's basically opening up her heart to the world and saying, look, this is how I felt. This is what I went through. There's a lot of battles you have to go through mentally in life. And Evan, you're a surfer. I'm a surfer. You're out there, you know, you're out there in some good, solid 6 to 10 foot surf. Okay, you crash, you wipe out, it hurts, your neck hurts, you know, you got to get your board, whatever. You get out there again, you're wondering, am I going to crash again? You know, am I going to wipe out on this next wave? No, you just got to get in there. You got to get it. You got to get on that thing and not hesitate. If you hesitate, you're done. You got to go for it. You know that. I mean, that's the mentality you have to have.
Absolutely. And speaking of surf, I mean, we just had some serious swells come through. Did you get any of that?
No, I didn't. I didn't get anything. I'm having, you know, so much business and so much work. Aside from UFC, I've just been going like crazy. And I missed the swell, and trust me, I'm not very happy about it. But I'm looking forward to some good swells coming up here, you know. We're in February. There's a lot of good surf to come in the next couple of months. And there's a place out in Malibu that I'm local at. I've been since I was a kid, called Trenicus Point, which is about, well, I don't want to give away the location, but it's in northern Malibu. And it only breaks 3 months out of the year. A pretty rocky area, but incredible surf. Just incredible. As good a wave as Malibu Point when it's happening.
Oh, and so you're saying you're hoping that winds up picking up here at some point soon, right? Because you're bummed that you missed that last swell, because I'll tell you what, I missed that last swell on purpose because it was gigantic down here, and I was like, all right, I can't get my feet wet again coming out in a big swell. So my son, who's 14 now, he went out and he did his thing. He's still learning, but yeah, that swell was no joke. And it brought weather with it too, of course. So it's been like summer down here. And I see people posting pictures on Facebook all the time, like freezing here in New Jersey. Like, why are you in New Jersey then?
Right, exactly. Well, I grew up in Philadelphia as a kid, and I used to go to Atlantic City. And, you know, the surf there didn't really impress me because it's East Coast surf. And when I was 11, my dad took me to Europe, and we were at Biarritz in the south of France, and I saw really great surf there. And I would go out in a little kayak, you know, and sit outside the surf line. Because I was a good swimmer, even that young, but I wasn't a surfer. And I said, you know, someday I'm going to do that. I'm going to surf. That's the sport for me. And then when I moved to Malibu at 15, it was like, you know, culture shock as far as Malibu and beautiful blonde girls I didn't really see in Philadelphia. And all the great surf, and all I could think about was, you know, learning how to surf and losing my virginity, but I learned how to surf first, and everything else followed.
Yeah, those are two good goals to have.
Yeah, well, when your hormones are flying at 15, trust me, it's a pretty darn good goal.
Well, you know, I came from the East Coast also, and it's a, like you said, it's a total culture shock. Like, you go from girls with mustaches, I mean, back in the day, when
you said it, I didn't have it.
I'm just saying, back in our day, before there was this whole Jersey Shore revolution and people started doing whatever they're doing to their eyebrows and working out was a thing. You know, at our age, back in the day, Philadelphia, the back east, wasn't exactly known for having the hottest girls in the world. Because I remember coming out to San Diego and being like, oh my God, where have these women been, or where have these girls been my entire 12 years of existence? I couldn't believe it. East Coast, West Coast, that is no joke, or it was no joke. I don't know how it is now. I haven't gone back east for a while, but I don't know if they still have mustaches.
You can see an occasional mustache back east. You can see an occasional mustache out west. The bottom line is all people take care of themselves, but there's a lot of beautiful girls back east, no question.
All right, so things have changed. All right, I have to change my... I'll change my stance then when I make a Twitter post. So you had mentioned all the other things you're doing aside from UFC, and I know you're busy all the time with the poker and the movies. I was wondering, like, do you even know how many movies you've been in?
You know, I think – I'm not quite sure, but I think it's probably – I'd have to check IMDb, you know, but it's probably in the area of a dozen or more. And pretty much, you know, I'm always asked to be myself, you know, doing the announcing and co-starring as Bruce Buffer, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I have acted in a few different films, and I enjoy it. I always wanted to be an actor when I was a kid, and I gave it up because I didn't have the passion to pound the pavement, and I was making good money and had my first company when I was 19. And I had a telemarketing company. I actually had a lot of actors and actresses, you know, trying to become actors and actresses and work, you know, to where that's all that they did to make their money. They were working for me and, you know, doing morning shifts and afternoon shifts, and they go out on their auditions. And I used to see them come back, you know, I almost got it. Oh, I didn't get it. Oh, and they're just ruined, right? So I kind of lost the effort and wanted to go pound the pavement. But now, because of the TV shows and the films, and I got more coming up too, it's like it fulfills that void, you know, that I always wanted as a kid. So I'm very lucky to be able to experience that. And, you know, I don't take anything for granted. I take everything to heart, and I cherish and am humbled by any chance I get to do what I get to do in life. You know, I hate arrogance and I hate conceit. We're all created equal. It's all about the paths we choose. And I just believe you have to do the best, or you should do the best you can be, the best you can do and be the best you can be on the path you choose. I don't care if you want to be a busboy, a CEO, an actor, a fighter, whatever. Just if that's your choice, study it, learn it, be it, do it, and be the best you can be. Because that's really all we can do in life.
Absolutely.
True story.
What about the poker, man? I mean, last time we spoke, I mean, you were rolling in the dough with this whole poker thing, and it's like you're like the big dog with the celebrity poker thing. Are you still doing it?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, the LEPC, WPT, the World Poker Tour, is in town here at Commerce. And I just played a couple tournaments there. Now the big main event, where all the pros from all over the world are going to be coming into play, is the 27th of this month. It's a $10,000 to enter the tournament as the entry fee, but the prize pool will probably be in the area of about $3 to $5 million. So first prize is going to be in the area of $1 million+. And I haven't won one of those yet, but I placed high. And I've got a good – if you go to cardplayer.com, just put in my name, and you can see exactly how much money I've won on the Pro Tour, which is pretty substantial. And I was honored, too, by Card Player Magazine. You know what that is, Evan. You've seen Card Player Magazine.
Yeah.
I'm sure. They voted me – I was honored by them, too, which is great for the resume. But I was voted, like, the number – I think it was number 8 or number 9 best celebrity poker player in the world. And the people behind me were, like, Ben Affleck, Tobey Maguire. Gabe Kaplan from Welcome Back, Kotter, was number 1. He's a big cash player. Jennifer Tilly, Nick Cassavetes, who's writing and directing Roadhouse with Ronda Rousey. So some pretty good company. And that was, I really, you know, was humbled and honored by that. When I know I say that a lot, humbled and honored, but quite frankly, I think that's what you should be when you're given an award, because you're being recognized for something that you do.
Well, yeah, I don't win awards. I should, but I don't.
I'll go to the trophy house and send you a little trophy. We'll put some kind of a label on it for you.
Let's see, we need to whip up some kind of award for Showman. He's starting to get mad about
it. Did you hear how degrading that was, Dan? What he just said to me? I'll go to the trophy room and get you a little trophy. One of my throwaways.
Well, what's he gonna do? I mean, this is a guy who just got the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Well, I just think it'd be one of my trophies. I would go have one made for you, Evan. Evan Showman, the Showman, the artist, the surfer. Father, you name it. You got a lot going on, Evan. Don't count yourself short.
Yeah, but no one recognizes it. I'm just saying, man. I feel really every time I have Bruce on. A, my voice I feel like sounds like a Smurf or something stupid, you know.
Yeah, it's tough to go voice to voice here.
You know, like Dan, you notice that when you talk to Bruce, you're like, like
notice I haven't talked much.
I really feel like. I got to, you know, like step my voice game up every time he's on that. And then I just, you know, there's so much like, what do I really do? You know, you start to really question yourself when you have Bruce Buffer on a radio show, because you hear of all the great things he does and you're like, damn.
I play poker, but not at that level. I have a podcast, but not at his level. Yeah, it's.
Let me rephrase that for you guys. You play poker. You have a podcast. Oh. I play poker. I have a podcast. Again, everybody's created equal. It's just about the paths we choose, you know. And if I was anything other than just respectful of all you do, then I would phrase it a different way, but there's no reason to. We're all trying to live our lives the way we do. Just be a good person and show respect to the people around you. That's my big thing. We live in a decaying society of morality. Girls have a hard time even finding a guy that opens a door for them, you know, or enters a restaurant properly. There's certain etiquette in being a gentleman and being a chivalrous white knight. And I see this as a dying art. in the world today, which is really a shame. So I really pride myself on standing up and being, you know, my version of what you should be as far as a gentleman, white knight, chivalrous, be a role model to the young fans that are loving our great sport. It's just, I'm just about all about respect, guys, all about respect. And if you disrespect me, you lie to me, you get in my face, well, you know, I either walk out of the room or we got a problem, you know. NASA, we have a problem.
Well, I know, Bruce, I know you got to go here. But that's probably a good way to leave an interview right there. What do you think, Dan?
I agree completely, man. We need that message out there. I mean, just Evan and I were talking even before the podcast this morning about what a crazy world it is that we're living in and all the things that are going on. And I think that if people just practiced what Bruce was saying, be respectful to each other and care about each other and do the things that our parents taught us to do when we were kids, it'd be a much better place, so...
Yeah, because the problem is our parents taught us that. And then, you know, kids are growing up the way they're growing up. Do you think they're going to teach their kids that, the way they're acting? That's
no,
a diminishing return, guys. It's kind of scary. You know, if right now all people want to talk about is, you know, the idiot things that we read about in the paper or people named Kardashian or, you know, don't even get me started on the Kanye West of this world. It's
oh,
like,
boy.
Is this what we're all about? I mean, people are famous today for being famous. They're not famous for talent. You know, there are exceptions, of course. There's some great talents out there. But I look at TMZ, I look at some of the stuff they talk about on TV and on these shows, and it's like, I don't give a flying F about these people. They have nothing to do with me, nor do they represent what I believe. So, you know, show me something real, you know? Show me somebody that's doing something good for this world.
Yeah, no
I'm
going
to get off the soapbox, because I could go on for the next half hour, but listen to my podcast. Trust me, I rant and rave on that podcast all the time.
Yeah, that's funny you do that because I do that on my Twitter pretty much all the time. And
you do that on the show.
And I do that on the show. Well, I don't know if you saw my post the other day, Bruce, but my son said to me, you know, he goes, Dad, how did Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian become famous anyway? And it was like, dun, 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 you know, okay.
Well, it's real simple. In one case, and you can guess which one, it's for having a fat ass and a sex tape, you know, and the other one is for having a sex tape.
Yeah.
Who did it before the other one did it, because she learned from the other one. And they both released it 2 to 3 weeks before their TV shows came out.
Weird.
If that's what modern-day marketing's all about, then I don't know, Evan. I don't want to see your sex tape, and I don't think you want to see mine, because it ain't going to happen.
No. Here's the thing. You're not going to see mine because they're never – it's got to happen for there to be a tape.
Hey, don't worry, Evan. Homie, don't even want to see it. It's okay.
As I said, it's not going to top our download list.
I know. It's distributed to an one, you know? Who wants to see mine? I mean, you know, maybe my Facebook friends, but that's about it. You know, that's kind of...
Well, as a Facebook friend, I can say no. That's probably not the case either.
See? And that's... What were you going to say, Bruce?
Well, before we go... It's like we're really touching on a very sensitive subject with me right now. I don't mean the sex tapes. We're just kidding around there. But it's like, you know, in the old days when you were called a movie star, right? I mean, you were Clark Gable. You were James Cagney. You were Steve McQueen. You know, you were guys that really paid their dues, you know. And now that term star, that four-letter word, is thrown out so cheaply. It's just, I don't know, it's just maybe this is a sign of my age or whatever, but it's just it's hard to watch. And easy to easy to realize. I mean, hard to understand, but easy to realize. You know, we just get back to it. I think it's a diminishing return. So my message out there is just, again, I'll say it again, be the best you can be, stand up, and let's make this world right. You know, it's a beautiful world we live in, and we live in the greatest country in the world. So let's keep it strong. You know, and that all starts with ourselves as individuals.
Absolutely, Bruce.
Agreed, 100%.
So, hey. Anything you want to plug, your website, what you want people checking out, your show, your everything, Bruce, whatever you got, lay it out there.
Well, I don't want to keep you on the phone for another half hour, but real quickly, I got a couple big announcements I'll be making in the next few months related to projects I have working outside the world of UFC and MMA. But one thing I really enjoy doing is personalized recordings for people's birthdays, and I love doing weddings. I've done a ton of them. And I do them both either audio or video. I make them very affordable. So if you have any, whether you want a championship introduction for yourself, you know, like walking into the cage or the octagon, whatever you want to call it, That can be done to the birthdays, to the weddings, bar mitzvahs. I've done the birth of a baby, you know, coming out now. It's like people give me these real crazy requests. But just go to brucebuffer.com, and that's where you can find out everything about me right there. And my podcast, It's Time, is on SoundCloud, iTunes, and it goes live every Wednesday. We post it up. I just had Nick the Tooth on
nice.
This week. That'll be up. A really, really good interview. He's a really interesting cat. A surfer too, Evan. And so that you can find that there at brucebuffer.com. That's basically about it. You know, other than that, I'll see you from the Octagon on Sunday in Pittsburgh. And life goes on. Let's just have a great 2016. I wish everybody health and happiness and prosperity. And like I say it again, be the best you can be, man, because that's all we can be.
That's all you can be. You know, don't forget, Bruce, do you remember I did that drawing? I did my drawing of you, and in return I wanted a voice message for my phone, and I never followed up.
Well, send me an email, Evan. Give me some key points, and let me send you out a real nice championship introduction. And, you know, I owe you a lot for honoring me by that great piece of artwork that you did for me, because, again, I look at it every day, you know, because it's here in my home. Next time your son has a birthday or something special, just throw me an email. Let me send you something really cool.
All right, man. That sounds good. Maybe we'll do it for this show if I feel good and happy for Dan here.
I'm already on his website looking to see how to get a recording.
It's right
down
there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's right there. If you guys want something for the show, you've always been good to me. Just, again, send me an email.
All right, Bruce. We appreciate it, my man. Well, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Bruce Buffer. Always a pleasure. Join us next week where I'm sure we'll have another great interview. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen.